Yeah, Justin. Yeah, no, Justin, I hear you. You're a real good prime minister. No, I'm not gonna tear down a Canadian icon. This is all just a personal story and personal feeling. Yes, I know he was a good man. Yes, I know he was a national hero. This is just personal childhood feelings, and I fully admit some internalized ableism. Look, Mr. Prime Minister, you don't even know what I'm going to say yet. How about you go back to helping disabled people instead of just encouraging us to unalive ourselves? And don't cry. Yes, yes, your socks are very wonderful, Justin. Very wonderful. I gotta go. The gates to Disabled Land are opening. Hello, and welcome to Disabled Land. I am your humble host, Wes of Disabled Land, recording again from Disabled Land. I hope this podcast finds you all well, be it disabled, abled, everything in between, the whole spectrum. Today, we are going to have a topic that is probably going to be a little bit controversial, and that's okay. It's based on personal feelings, and we'll get to it. But before I do, I want to put a call out. Disabled Land is looking for people to interview. I have guests in mind. If you meet these criteria, these specific things, I want you to talk to me. If you are disabled, especially physically disabled, and have an OnlyFans, and are willing to come on and talk about that, I want to talk to you. If you were an otherwise sex worker in any way, I want to talk to you. If you are an able-bodied sex worker whose clients are disabled, I absolutely want to talk to you. We can switch names around. We can protect identities when need be, but I want to do this. Also, if you are disabled and have been convicted of a crime, if you have done time in prison as a disabled person, I want to talk to you. I don't want to glorify anything. I want the real story. I want the real experience. If you've just done a crime, I kind of want to talk to you too. And you are disabled. Disabled Land really wants to tell interesting stories. Kind of like the personal story I'm going to tell today. And this personal story I can already tell as a citizen of Canada is going to make people very, very angry. Because today, I am going to tell you and try and explain and try and justify why I fucking hated Terry Fox. You didn't hear that wrong. I fucking hated Terry Fox when I was growing up. And let's just get on that ride. Let's get on the anger train right there. And let me try to explain why. First, if you don't know who Terry Fox is, you may be living under some sort of rock. But if you don't know, Terry Fox is a Canadian icon. Terry Fox is probably Canada's most famous disabled person. He was born July 28, 1958. He was a long-distance runner and basketball player. In 1977, he had to have his right leg amputated after he was diagnosed with osteosarcoma. I think I am saying that right. It's a form of cancer. And he was, shortly after that, he was given a prosthetic leg, which at that time, they were not necessarily the greatest prosthetics. But yeah, he continued to run. He also played wheelchair basketball in Vancouver and apparently had won a few national championships. He was very good. Terry Fox was a very skilled and talented athlete. In 1980, He began what he called the Marathon of Hope. It was a cross-country run. Canada is a very, very large place. Terry Fox intended to run across the whole of Canada with a prosthetic leg circa 1980. He hoped to raise $1 from each of Canadians' 24 million people. It began in St. John's, Newfoundland with not a lot of fanfare. No one really knew about it. Nobody cared. There was no viral campaigns at this point. There was no TikToks. There was no Instagrams. There was no going viral in that way. So he started it. No one really knew about it. He started it in April, and he ran the equivalent of one marathon every day. By the time he reached Ontario, he was a national star. He made public appearances with businessmen, athletes, politicians, all in the effort to raise money for cancer research. And then, just outside of Thunder Bay, Ontario, on September 1st, he was forced to stop running. He was forced to call the whole thing off because the cancer had returned and spread to his lungs. The hopes that he had of overcoming the disease and completing the run ended when he died 9 months later. Terry Fox was named Canada's Newsmaker of the Year in both 1980 and 1981 by the Canadian press. Considered a national hero, he has had buildings, statues, roads, parks, all named in his honor all across the country. Now, this is just from the Wikipedia, and we all know how Wikipedia can be, but Terry stated that he would conquer his disability and promised to complete his run even if he had to crawl every last mile. It was also said that he refused to regard himself as disabled and that he could have a temper, but his family denied this, possibly because it didn't fit into the positive narrative. But I'm jumping ahead. When Terry was still alive, when an annual fundraiser in his name was proposed, he agreed to it, but insisted that the runs be non-competitive and include anyone who wanted to participate. If you know about the Terry Fox Run, anyone can do it. You can walk, you can ride, you can roll, whatever you need to do. It is a completely inclusive run with no winners, no losers, and that's a wonderful thing. The funny story of that is there was opposition to the project. There was opposition to the Terry Fox Run because Terry Fox was such a good fundraiser, apparently, which is true, that the Cancer Society feared that the fall run would detract from its traditional April campaigns. And other charities believed that the additional fundraiser would leave less money for their causes. The first Terry Fox Run happened on September 13th, 1981. Terry Fox did a lot of things. Terry Fox had what most people today now would, at least in the disability community, would say, produced a lot of toxic positivity. A lot of, oh, I don't see myself as disabled, or I will overcome my disability. Now, part of me, it may have just been the times. Part of me would like to believe that he just knew all the right things to say to raise as much money as possible. Part of me would like to believe that he just figured out the system. And now his prosthetic leg sits in a museum. And there's even talk of the Canadian government, hi Justin, putting him on the $5 bill. And he is literally, literally the most famous disabled person in the country of Canada, living or dead. I was, let's see, he died in 1981 at the age of 22. That would mean I was 5 or 6 years old at the time. So I wasn't even really, I was barely even in school. I was still going through surgeries for arthrogryposis at that point. But as I said, and now we're going to get in, we're going to get into the heart of this. I fucking hated Terry Fox when I was growing up. Now you're going to ask yourself, Wes, he was a national hero. Wes, he sacrificed himself for fundraising. Wes, he spent his final best days running a marathon every day. He was the single greatest athlete the world has ever known. How could you possibly say that you fucking hated Terry Fox? Well, it's real simple. I was a little disabled kid growing up in the era after Terry Fox had passed, when Terry Fox was, like I said, the greatest hero that Canada had ever had. So brave and so didn't let his disability stop him. Well, first of all, you may have, if you were disabled on social media, you have seen this. And if you know anyone who is disabled and you're on social media, you have seen this. Disabled people get trolled by getting compared to whatever other famous-ish disabled person that there is, be it fictional or be it real. Many, many times you'll see disabled kids in wheelchairs with cerebral palsy get compared to South Park's Timmy or Hector Guerrero from Breaking Bad. The ignorance of ables knows no bounds. They are incredibly non-creative because most of them are not that bright. And if you're trolling disabled kids, no, you're not that bright. So, growing up in the shadow of Terry Fox's death, this grand hero, I got two things. I got compared to him, and keep in mind, I had arthrogryposis. I walk with a heavy limp in both my legs, but I was this little kid that limped around the playground. And quite frankly, despite the fact that both my legs are real, that I don't have a prosthetic because I don't have an amputation, I got compared to Terry Fox in good ways and in bad ways. I got compared to him because how I ran, it'd be, hey, look, it's Terry Fox doing the Terry Fox run. Fuck you, Billy. And then I got the other version of it. I got the, well, Terry Fox didn't give up. Terry Fox ran across the country till he fucking died. Why can't you do that? Terry Fox didn't give up. Terry Fox did what he did, and he was wonderful at it. And why can't you be more like Terry Fox? Keep in mind, I was getting criticized like this because I was a bad student in school. I was getting criticized like this because I didn't want to do things that I was being forced to do. And then getting compared to Terry Fox, who he didn't let his disability stop him. He didn't, you know, he kept going. Terry Fox fucking chose to run across Canada, sir. I did not choose to go to gym class. Terry Fox was in a situation where the only one he was competing with on his running a marathon every day was himself. I'm on a field with 20 other kids trying to pretend that I fit in and I'm having fun. when I can't keep up with any of them. This is a very different situation, and I don't really want to be doing this in the first place. So I got the comparisons, and the comparisons were off. I did not like Terry Fox. I resented Terry Fox. I fucking hated Terry Fox. Now, as I have grown older and wiser, I get it now. I get that the able-bodied community loves to poke fun, loves to make comparisons, because if they think that if they've seen one disabled person, they've seen all disabled people. And I am very much aware now that especially with disabled kids, if we don't give them what they want, they will turn on us. If we don't give them the either inspiration that they want or the pity that makes them feel better about themselves, they will turn on us. And then we get stories like, oh, well, the only disability is a bad attitude. The only disability is a negative attitude. And no one is going to help you with that attitude, mister. Well, first of all, fuck you, because nobody wanted to help me anyway. And if they did, it was for their own gains. They didn't get that I was being relentlessly teased every day. They didn't get that I hated myself, hated my disability. They didn't get that at the time, I didn't think I had any future whatsoever. Because, okay, make the comparisons to Terry Fox. Terry Fox died young. Who says I'm going to hit 30? I had also been told that my disability was only going to get worse with time. I didn't think I had a future. I didn't think I had a future living independently. I didn't think I was going to make it to 30, let alone the age I am now. But they expect you to be positive when you have no reason to be positive. They expect you to put on a smiley face while at the same time they feed you shit. And Terry Fox was, he knew how to play the game, clearly. He decided he was going to fundraise, and he fundraised the fuck out of his life. And he did great. And he is the Canadian hero. But you have to wonder, had he not tried to run across Canada on one leg as a cancer patient, had he, as a cancer patient, not felt that the only way he could fundraise and bring awareness as a cancer patient was to run a marathon every day for months on end with the intent of going across the entire country of Canada and not even in a straight fucking line. You'll see the memes. You'll see the posts of he was the greatest athlete ever because he ran a marathon every day for months on end. And isn't that fucking inspiring? Yes, it's so inspiring, it probably helped lead to his death. But nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about the fact that a man with cancer running across the country was probably running a marathon every day, was probably not getting the care and the checks that he needed, and was probably running himself into the ground and his health into the ground, which made the cancer all that much easier to take over. Now, hey, maybe this Canadian hero would have died anyway. Or maybe he would have lived. And if he had have lived, he probably wouldn't be on the getting put on a $5 bill. There would certainly be no monuments across Canada to him, or at least a lot fewer than what there were. And he most certainly, through the Terry Fox run, long after his death, he most certainly would not have raised nearly the amount of money had he lived that he did because he died. Because you know what? Even if he had survived, even if he had taken some time off from his run, gone back into remission, gone back to the same spot, and finished that marathon every day for however many days it would have taken, and it would have taken months to get all the way across Canada. Had he finished that run and lived, and he was still alive today, you know what? The story wouldn't be as inspirational. I mean, it would be inspirational, but it wouldn't be as inspirational. It wouldn't have drawn that much attention. And there's proof of this. There was a man that knew Terry Fox by the name of Rick Hansen. Rick Hansen is a paraplegic. Rick Hansen is still alive. Now, you will know Rick Hansen. Rick Hansen is famous, but Rick Hansen is not nearly as famous as Terry Fox. You know what Rick Hansen did? Rick Hansen took his wheelchair around the world. Did the entire world in his wheelchair. Manual wheelchair. There, you can find footage of him on the Great Wall of China. Literally went around the world in his wheelchair. The Man in Motion Tour, I believe it was called. Now, he made a ton of money too. But no one's talking about putting Rick Hansen on the $5 bill. Because he lived. He's still with us today. Not the same inspirational story as Terry Fox, who ran himself into the ground to make the able-bodied care and open their wallets for cancer research. And it makes me angry. Because yes, I got relentlessly compared to this person, both mockingly and both, why can't you be like him? Because I've never wanted to run myself into the ground for a cause. I don't believe any of us should have to run ourselves into the ground to raise money. If you've listened to episode one, and I don't know where this is going to go in the podcast releases, but episode one, I talk about how I feel about the whole having to raise funds just to keep going. Terry Fox died as a fundraiser, something that once again should not have to be. Terry Fox died with the Pope praying for him. But how much money did the Vatican donate to cancer research? Not like they don't have enough money. But how much money did the Vatican donate to cancer research? I'm just asking the question. He had photos taken with him, with politicians, political leaders, heads of corporations. They all wanted their picture with the famous man because it made them look good, and all they had to do was make a donation. Because just like I said in episode one, disabled people are only good for two things: inspiring or being objects of pity. I hated Terry Fox for what would have been, what would now be considered toxic positivity. I hated Terry Fox for the comparisons. I hated Terry Fox because I hated myself. I was not a happy disabled child. I tried to be a happy disabled child. I put on the show, but I was an angry little shit of a disabled child. And whenever that came out, I got the, well, no one's going to help you with that attitude thing. Why can't you have a better attitude thing? Which is why I wish that if Terry Fox did have a temper, that his family hadn't, like, quashed those ideas. Because it would have helped me to know, okay, you know, sometimes Terry could be a dick. Sometimes Terry got angry about his situation, which I'm sure he did. I'm sure he was pissed that he couldn't finish the run. I'm sure that weighed on him on his last days. I'm sure that in some ways he felt like he had failed, because he would have no idea how much money he would raise in death. As the great inspirational dead disabled cultural icon, he never could have known. And that's really it, isn't it? What it comes down to is Terry Fox, this man that I hated growing up, because the last thing I wanted to be was him. Because I didn't want to be disabled then. I still say that nobody actually wants to be disabled. We're just so gaslit by ableism that we convince ourselves that, yeah, we're cool, that it's fun, it's fine and dandy. But this man, Terry Fox, who I fully admit was badass, ran a marathon every day for months, ran himself into the ground. Terry Fox has done more as a dead disabled man, raised more money as a dead disabled man, raised more awareness as a dead disabled man, inspired more able-bodied people to open their wallets and give and feel better about their lives as a dead disabled man than he probably would have had he lived, even if he had lived and finished his run. Or what would be a worse fate is if he had lived and been unable, still medically unable, to finish his run. Because then they really would have seen him as a failure now, wouldn't they? Oh, well, you know, he stopped. He said he was going to do this, but didn't finish. Didn't matter that, you know, he survived lung cancer on top of everything else. No, he didn't finish. Terry Fox did more as a dead disabled person than he could have as a living disabled person. Probably. That argument could be made. And that's exactly the way the able-bodied world likes it. Because now they control his narrative. Now they control the story. His mother has passed away. I am probably rambling. I do that a lot. I'm working this out as I go. They really do seem to like us better when we're dead. And I mean, literally, Rick Hansen, around the world in a wheelchair. You can look it up. Hardly the icon that Terry Fox was. And the only difference I can find is that Terry died and was unable to finish. So not only is it an inspirational story, it's a sad story. And it has raised so much money, done so much good. But what else could he have done? What is the metaverse, the multiverse version of this where he lived? Maybe he has been canceled for making problematic tweets in his old age. We'll never know. I fucking hated him, and I feel bad about that. I hated him because I was gaslit by ableism, and I hated him because it was the last thing I wanted to be compared to. Didn't matter how brave he was, it was the last thing I wanted to be compared to, and I hope that I am not the only one out there that has felt this, if not about this disabled person, then about another disabled person. I hope I am not the only one that has seen a disabled person in the news doing extraordinary things and not hated them just a little bit. Because you know someone is going to come to you and say, oh, well, why can't you do that? I'm going to have a guest come on sometime soon to talk about the consequences of Instagram accounts with disabled children that are doing amazing things in physiotherapy with certain disabilities, and they're miracle children walking independently. But what nobody is saying is that those particular disabilities run on a spectrum, and some kids, all the physiotherapy and surgeries in the world will not have them leave their wheelchairs or walk independently. So these accounts and these families and these kids, in their wonderful positivity, just become a slap in the face to disabled kids that it's never going to happen for. I was never going to run across Canada. I didn't want to run across Canada. But I was expected to be as brave as the man that ran across Canada. We are all expected to live up to the disabled people that the able-bodied deem the good ones, the brave ones, the bold ones. And I fucking hated it. Not to sound too negative, I have gone through a lot of self-work in what I am calling my old age. I actually turned 48 in 2.5 hours as I'm recording this. I'm not the little disabled kid on the playground anymore. I haven't been the little disabled kid on the playground in a long time. I have struggled and I have done my best to work through things. I have done my best to work through things and do the work and find my traumas, both caused by ableism and caused by other things. I've genuinely tried to become a better person. And as hateful as the last 30 minutes of this podcast may seem, I really don't have those feelings anymore because I get it now. I get that we are compared to each other. I get it is not, it is most of the time not us doing that to each other. It is other people turning us against each other by making us compare ourselves to each other. Oh, well, this person with this disability can do that. What's your excuse? Or this person with this disability can do that. Hey, Abel, what's your excuse? I just saw an ad for sports wheelchairs the other day. And every single ad on the Instagram account for these fucking wheelchairs, it's some wheelchair athlete doing wheelchair athlete thing. And fuck yeah, that's fucking amazing. A lot of fucks in this episode. It's like, that's great. That's amazing. But every single one, the caption at the top is, no excuses. And my question is, excuses for what? Excuses for what? And I would never say it because it's something that, once again, disabled people and especially disabled children get trolled with. But when I see someone, a wheelchair athlete in a wheelchair, doing wheelchair athlete things, and they're saying, no excuses, or what's your excuse? It is literally the time what I want to say, then just fucking walk, bro. If there are no excuses, just get out of the chair. It is a troll comment that I see so many disabled people get, but they're not the ones that are being all, no excuses, work hard. Disabled people do it to other disabled people. And I don't think they do it because they're trying to market themselves or they're trying to prove themselves to other disabled people. No, no, they're doing it to please the ables. They're doing it to tell the able-bodied what they want to hear. This will get my post shared more. This, the algorithm will like this. So what's your excuse? No excuses. Well, if there are no excuses, then why haven't you got up and walked out of the chair? And I know that's bullshit, but if you're going to hit with toxic crap to other disabled people, expect toxic crap to be thrown at you. And I would never actually say this to a disabled person. I did share one of the posts with the comment of excuses for what? No excuses. Excuses for what? What are we even talking about here? Yeah, you're a wheelchair athlete. Excuses for what? Excuses for why I'm not a wheelchair athlete? I don't want to be one. It is just so difficult to navigate in this world. And it made me, as a small child, hate a man that I should have been able... The disabled man monorail is going by. I don't know if you can hear it. Made me hate a man that I should have been able to look up to, that I should have been able to see as a hero. But the planet of the Ables, they couldn't let me just look up to him. They couldn't let me just see him as a hero. They had to compare me to him. They had to look at me, a small, disabled boy, and say, he can do it. He ran. He ran this far. He didn't let his disability stop him. He is damn well dead. His disability, his illness did stop him. It stopped him in Thunder Bay. It ended his dream. It ended his mission. Don't tell me it didn't stop him. Don't tell me disability doesn't stop people. It stops people all the time. And the ones that say my disability never stops me, I'm sorry, are lying. If not to the world, then to themselves. It always does some way. It may cause you to, have to do things in a different way, but the reason you have to do things in a different way is it stopped you from doing it that way. And other disabled people throwing the toxic positivity around isn't going to fix that, isn't going to change that. It's just going to make us hate each other. I'm really on my soapbox tonight, aren't I? I really do hope this makes a decent episode, because I'm also kind of working through some shit here, apparently. But I think it's time to consider closing the doors to Disabled Land. I am hoping to do some interviews this week. I've got some very special guests lined up that I know are coming. And I've got a couple guests that I am working on that I hope will be taking a trip to Disabled Land. I don't know where this episode will go in the release schedule. Courtney and Brittany at Bitching and Bollessing and I still need to talk about that. I am just recording and stockpiling at this time, hoping to create some interesting conversations. I believe it may be time. I certainly thank you for joining me here in Disabled Land, listening to me rant. If you feel that you can safely try the drinking game of every time I say the word fuck, taking a shot, I don't recommend it, and certainly do not recommend it. Actually, I forbid it if you are not the legal drinking age in the country you are in at the time. You can find me at Wes_of_disabledland on Instagram. You can find me on TikTok at Disabled Land, but I'm never really there. You can find Courtney and Brittany at the Mother Podcast, Bitching and Bollessing, at Bitching_and_Bollessing on Instagram. You can find some very special Disabled Land merch, at least one design, and some incredible Bitching and Bollessing merch at bitchingandbollessing at threadless.com. And if you would like to help build inclusive playgrounds for disabled kids, support the Recess Project at therecessproject.org. There's incredible work happening there and incredible fundraising going on. And as we've just talked about, fundraising is important, but nobody, especially a disabled person, should have to die to raise awareness or raise money or to get on the $5 Canadian bill. I'm Wes of Disabled Land. This has been Disabled Land. If you are out there just trying to survive on the planet of the Ables, just stay alive. Whatever you gotta do. And I'll see you next time.